You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Porpoise Pod with your hosts, Brendan Tobin and Alejandro Solano.
Porpoise Pod swimming on here. Tobin and Solana, as we are in the midst of the 2023 off season. Thanks for everybody for tuning in, watching us on the WQAM YouTube page or wherever you are consuming this podcast. We appreciate you guys. Subscribe there. You guys can watch the radio shows there live as well. And to get us, of course, on the Odyssey app. Solana McCochin. He spoke today at the Combine. Wow, it was a long press conference. I need to get my McCochin muscle up, dude, to get through this one. I was like, man, he's back to saying everything.
How is he in mid-season form in March or late February? Like, how? I don't understand, Tobin.
I just think he was looking to chat up, dude. He just had he had so much to say, and yet on some things he just talked words and there was no answer. Mostly when it came to Tua's fifth-year option.
Yeah.
Because, like, I didn't even know what – I was like, what does he mean here? We got, like, a lot of spewing of – I did hear him say that ultimately we want him and the Tua and the Dolphins, we want to be together for a long time. So that was nice. But no real clarity on where they stand with Tua and the option other than I assume McCochin is down with keeping Tua because that's basically the reason he got the job.
I think so. Like, I think he's genuine when he says that Tua is the starting quarterback, Tua is the franchise quarterback. But I do think they have to be very cautious with how they talk about this fifth-year option thing, right? Because, like, he needs to be on the same page with Chris Greer whenever they come out publicly on this. And, like, this isn't going to get done for a while, right, Tobin? Are you there with me? Like, this isn't something that's going to be resolved anytime soon. So I just think they really have to play the slow game here.
I think the deadline is May 1st. So they basically have 2 months.
Yeah.
So there's really no need to have an answer right now. It is going to be interesting. I wonder how you feel about this because there was a report that they're not going to offer fifth-year options on, and not surprisingly, Noah Igbinoghene and Austin Jackson. And I just wonder as like, I feel like with Chris Greer, we seesaw a lot, right? Because, like, yeah, he's had some hits. He's had some real whiffs. I think we look at his, what was it, the 2021 draft with Waddle and Javon and JP. And, man, that's a great draft. But then you look at the draft before that, it's like, man, so you had three first-round picks. You had the gold mine. Three first-round picks. You're telling me there's a potential that you're not going to give any of them the fifth-year option? That's kind of crazy. Like that is that's a damning thing as a GM. And already having two of them, quite frankly, is not great. But if you get the franchise quarterback, it's not, I feel like it just numbs it a little bit more. And I'm not saying here, I get not giving Austin Jackson. Austin Jackson can't stay healthy either. And when he was healthy, he hasn't proven to be very good.
They're not good.
Noah Igbinoghene has spent more games inactive than active. But I don't know, man. That's quite the blemish. If you're going to tell me you're Chris Greer and you're going to go about this and he's gonna not give the fifth-year option on Tua, it's pretty wild. Look, man, I get the people who are, like, out on – I don't really get people who are out or Dolphins who are out on Tua. I get the concern because the biggest concern coming into this year was durability, and now a new thing kind of came up, and it's like – one of the most hazy things that's there because we don't know much about head injuries. It's still a mystery on how these things are diagnosed. So, but I just can't imagine he's going to have a whole draft class. None of them get their fifth year option. That's pretty crazy.
Nah, like that's unheard of. Three first round picks and none of them are getting the fifth year option. Here's my thing though, Tobin, like regarding Tua, what other option is out there right now that benefits your team that makes you better? It's Aaron Rodgers and then probably nobody else, right? Lamar Jackson. I just think that's a pipe dream though. Like both of those guys. So the Dolphins are kind of stuck in this place where like it's going to be Tua. And like, what if Tua tells you, well, like I'm either playing for the fifth year option or I'm not playing or sign me, right? Like give me a deal. Like
And it's one of these things with his option that like, man, it has to go really bad for it to be like a blunder, right? Because like quarterbacks make a lot of money. We're seeing this. The Giants are in the midst of this with Daniel Jones right now and how much money they have to give him. And listen, quarterbacks get paid a whole heap of money, probably are overpaid in a lot of guys who shouldn't be paid the money they're paid at quarterback. If the only way you tell me that the only way this is a disaster is, well, Tua's not going to be able to play football anymore and you're still on the hook for it. I feel like the more likely thing that's going to happen is, hey, things are going to be okay this year. This was the sixth offense in the league this past season. He has a coach who seems to believe in him. He's got the star wide receivers. I feel like this isn't that big of a risk. I don't really know why it's that big of a question, other than you don't really trust his body, which I guess is fair, but you think he's not going to get through the season? Like it's going to get to that point? I don't know.
Where do you think they feel like they're at, though? Like, do you think that they feel like Tua can finish a season? Because I think that's where the hesitancy comes from. Do Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel feel like Tua can withstand a season in the NFL?
Yeah.
I don't know that they feel strongly about it. I really don't, man.
He's taking jiu-jitsu, dude.
Judo, baby.
No,
you know,
it was
jiu-jitsu?
It's not judo. He's apparently taking jiu-jitsu, which was kind of an interesting clarification because I had spoken to Jorge Masvidal and Gilbert Burns about judo. And Masvidal actually thought judo was a really good idea. And it's not like they're kind of cousins to give everybody who's not like a martial arts fan the run on it. They're kind of cousins. I would say the difference between judo and jiu-jitsu is like not a lot of people use judo. It's kind of a weird sport. Like you're kind of trying to like flip each other onto their head and things like that. Jiu-jitsu's, you're on the ground, but you do have to learn how to fall because it is a lot of wrestling. It's a lot of takedowns and things like that. It's also a lot more common. It makes a lot more sense that he's training jiu-jitsu than he is judo. Like you go to South Florida, there's a jiu-jitsu gym in every strip mall.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Judo is, I was like, that's kind of random. So for them to clarify that.
I feel like
that,
all my Brazilian friends growing up were all members of a jiu-jitsu gym. Like every single one of them.
But it's funny, man. Like my son takes jiu-jitsu now and it's literally the first thing they teach these kids is how to brace falls. So I was like, oh, that makes a lot more sense. Even if judo does that too, but you're like, it's a really awkward fall because you're like getting hip thrust, thrown onto one arm, you know. And so, yeah, you kind of do have to turtle on that, but it's almost kind of like how you would never want to in a land in some regards. But I actually found that as like a fan of this stuff kind of interesting.
How'd you find out that he's not doing judo, but he's doing jiu-jitsu? Like, I didn't
Mike
see
McDaniel
that.
Mike McDaniel said it. It was the last question. On the last question of his press conference, he was asked about, hey, what do you think about him taking judo? And he said, I'll get the quote right here. He said, it's actually jiu-jitsu. He goes, little confusion with martial arts. He says, it's some of the various ideas we've had, some of which I won't repeat because they weren't very good. We were willing to go to any length. However, with him getting invested in it and really talking to him and hearing how the trainers invested in him, and how he really is getting into it, getting good residuals from it, we feel very comfortable in terms of preparing him for things that he hasn't otherwise been able to prepare for.
Well, it can't be going that well if he doesn't even know the damn name of the sport he's playing.
Well, you know.
I mean, what?
It's something that we're trying to train. He's attacking it with vigor. He also said, this doesn't say this in the transcript, but I remember the soundbite. He also said that Tua was a former boxer, which I didn't know.
What?
I had no idea that Tua was a former boxer. He said Tua is a former boxer. He's going to have all the skills to beat you up for all the bad things you say about him.
A little southpaw action from Tua.
Yeah. Holy. I didn't know that. And it makes me think of the great David Tua, who, of course, the former heavyweight boxer from New Zealand, the Samoan boxer, who Tua's actually put, like, montage videos on his Instagram of before. He's a behemoth. And he actually, he's kind of like the new age Shannon Briggs on Instagram. He's like the motivational boxer. He's like built like a brick house. But I was like, wait, hold on. Wait, how have we gone this long? We didn't know that Tua used to box. Like that Mike McDaniel's just throwing this out there.
I love Mike McDaniel finding this out. Like, I love envisioning Mike McDaniel and Tua just sitting down, and he's like very interested in Tua's life, and he's the one finding out that Tua is a boxer or was That's right. a boxer.
That's right. I'm these very excited
best,
about
they're,
this.
They're best buds, these guys, right? Like, Tua, Mike McDaniel. I mean, Tua loves Mike McDaniel. We just know
only, second only to Rick Ross, of course. The boss.
Those, his birthday. Those videos are
tremendous.
Something else, man.
What do you
something
think happened else. There? Like, he's the only, like, Rick Ross is the only guy who's allowed to have his cell phone there. Yeah. Like, that's what happened. Like, you're not taking
I
Rick
think
Ross's
so.
Cell phone.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Rick Ross in Miami. I mean,
right.
It's Rick Ross.
Like, if you're two and you find out Rick Ross is coming to your birthday, you just like let him do what he wants.
Also, like, isn't that kind of a flex? Yeah, Rick Ross is at my birthday. Like, had there been no pictures of it, we never would have known Tua was hanging out with Rick Ross. Kind of helps him, doesn't it? Makes him a little cooler.
It does make him cooler, of course.
Yeah.
Like, if Ricky Rose is going to show up and he like gave him a coat or something like that.
Yeah, I gave him a coat. He had the big bottle of champagne. Like,
what is that stuff that he sells?
I don't know
what it's called.
I don't know.
I know it's like pink and black. It's like bubbly.
Yeah, but there's no way he's actually drinking that. Like, that had to have been a bottle of Dom or something.
I don't know.
Rick Ross isn't drinking his own pink bubbly champagne. There's no way.
Doesn't Rick Ross own a farm in Georgia? I feel like that's a thing.
I thought he owned like Wingstops.
He does own Wingstops. That's true. But I think
there was one at near our old studio in Miami Gardens. Like he had opened up a bunch of Wingstops around there.
Love a Wingstop. Delicious.
So good. So
very,
good.
Very good. What were we talking about? Oh yeah, Mick McDaniel. Anyway, so yeah, no, that was the great, that was my favorite part of the press conference. And I had to wait till all the way at the end for the grand revelation that Tua is taking jujitsu instead of judo. Did you see anything that stood out to you today that intrigued you on the Twitter sphere?
Well, by the way, I checked out like halfway through watching the video on my way home because I just thought to myself, like, there's no way Mike McDaniel is talking this. Like, does he not talk at home? Like, is his wife just like constantly at Pilates because she's sick of listening to Mike McDaniel all day.
Somebody asked him about D'Amico Ryan, and I just looked at the audio wave, and it was like 3 minutes. I'm just like, I'm skipping that one. Sorry.
So as far as like Vic Fangio goes, obviously he's speaking highly about Vic Fangio, but like you can tell he's really geeked up about having Vic Fangio in the building. And it kind of, to me, opened my eyes a little bit to like his relationship with Boyer. It probably was just never as strong as he would have wanted, right? Him being able to go and pick his guy, and by the way, I was watching a clip yesterday. Sean Payton came out and said, yeah, like, I made a strong push for Vic Fangio. Ultimately, Mike McDaniel made a better one. Like, McDaniel went and got his guy and beat out other head coaches that are way more prestigious around the league in terms of their respect and their accomplishments. And he beat them out and convinced Vic Fangio to come to Miami. So like kind of swaggering around a little bit with that.
I think that's an encouraging thing that we've seen in a lot of places. Like, you see Vic Fangio pursued by a lot of people, Dolphins get him. And that we know that the Dolphins will spend a lot of money. That's definitely a thing. But between that, Jordan Poyer coming out and flirt with the Dolphins, telling the Bills he wants to get the hell out of there. Who can blame him? The Heisman Trophy winner came out and said that his number one choice would be to be drafted by the Dolphins. When is the last time you have heard a number one pick that's not a kid who's not a former Hurricane say he wants to be drafted by the Miami Dolphins? No ties to Miami.
Crazy.
He wants to come to the Dolphins. Like that, I think, is the cool thing. I don't, you know, I'm not really worried about it. I'm not really all, you know, should we go get Caleb Williams? But that's pretty awesome that this guy's like, I want to go play there. What is it though?
Is it Tyreek Hill? Like, was it that simple? It's that simple as Tyreek Hill and the young, cool head coach, and now you're one of the more attractive destinations in the NFL.
It's the two-star receivers. It's the coach. It's the Waddle. Everybody was doing the Waddle this year, the celebrations. Yeah. They're just a cool team. They are. And that's that. We talked about that in another podcast this year. There's just – there is a – you know, they have the fun thing in the league this year. They're like I don't know where to compare it in basketball, like a Memphis Grizzlies, like kind of like the new thing that everybody is checking out. Hopefully just not, you know, fighting Shannon Sharpe at one point in the middle of the season.